We read God's holy word in two places this morning. First, in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, and then in Matthew 26. Daniel 9, we'll read the first five verses and then skip down to verses 15 and 16. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And he continues to go on and confess his sins. Verse 15, And now, O Lord, our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem and thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. And beginning at verse 36, we have the prayer of our Lord in the garden. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. On the basis of those passages and many others, both Old and New Testaments, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us concerning the what of prayer this morning in Lord's Day 45. Lord's Day 45 is on page 25 in the back of your Psalter. We've covered question and answer 116, 117, and now 118 and 19. But let's read the whole Lord's Day. Lord's Day 45. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, so that we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. And thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. Notice in that answer at the beginning, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. And now, question and answer 118 picks up on that. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer, He Himself has taught us. And then gives us the Lord's Prayer. Beloved of God, with Lord's Day 45, we are learning prayer. And we're learning prayer by looking up through the lenses of sacred Scripture. We are looking up to this God to whom we are praying and seeing who He is. And after seeing who He is, we are coming back down and looking at ourselves in relationship to Him. Because it's obvious who He is and who we are in relationship to Him has so much to say about why we pray, about how we pray, and about what we pray. Those are the three subjects covered here in Lord's Day 45. How, why, and what, as it introduces prayer to us. With question and answer 117, we learned how to pray, And we learned that by looking up and by seeing that God to whom we pray is holy and we are not, and therefore how? We must come in humility and reverence, first of all. And then we learned there that by looking up, we see a God who is also our Father and we are His children, and therefore prayer must come in the confidence of childlike faith. And third, there we learned how. By looking up and seeing that this holy God who is our Father speaks to His children from the heart. And by giving us His Spirit to touch our hearts and to touch our hearts by His speaking, we are to respond. How? By speaking to Him from the heart. In question and answer 116, we learned why we pray, And we learned that too by looking up. Looking up, we saw God as a God of fellowship in Himself. And coming down, we see that He's made us creatures for fellowship and recreated us by the Spirit for fellowship with Him. And therefore, why do we pray? We pray for fellowship, for this bond with this God. Looking up, we see that God is the giver and that I am the receiver. And therefore, I pray to express to Him my gratitude for the gifts that He gives. And looking up to this God, I see He's powerful, He's sovereign, He's in control of everything, and I am utterly dependent, totally dependent, and therefore I need to pray to ask Him for things that I need. And now, with question and answer 118 and 19, we're learning what to pray for. That is, what are those things that I need that I can ask Him for? It's obvious from question and answer 118 that when the Catechism deals now with the what do we pray for, it's limiting itself to petitions. What do we ask Him for? What kinds of things may I ask my Father to grant to me in prayer? That's the final introductory question we take up here with Lord's Day 45. As we learn prayer by looking up, we learn also what. First, we learn to pray for what is commanded. Second, we learn to pray in line with what is commanded. And third, we pray knowing that He will answer. Learning prayer by looking up, learning what? First, by praying for what is commanded. When we're faced with this question now, what do we request of our Father? It's important that we first look up to Him and see that this God to whom we pray has something to say about the what, and that we ought to listen to what He has to say about the what, because this God is Lord. He's Lord over our lives in every respect. This God is King. This God is sovereign. He is our Creator and our Redeemer, and therefore He has doubly the rights over us in every aspect of our existence, including the what we are to make request of Him for. This is the God described in Deuteronomy 4, 39 and 40. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God of heaven above and upon earth beneath, and there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore His statutes and His commandments, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee. And His statutes and His commandments have something to say also about this. What do we ask of Him? And following them, it may go well with us and with our children after us. This truth, that looking up to this God, we see He is Lord, Lord even of our petitions, is what lies behind the question of question and answer 118. Notice that the question assumes that we have this stance of recognizing His lordship over everything, even this aspect of our relationship to Him, the what of the requests of prayer. The question of question and answer 118 is not, so what do you feel like praying for? But the question is, what hath God commanded us to ask of Him? It's assuming that we're coming to catechism with this in the back of our mind, that this God is Lord over every aspect of my life, even my petitioning aspect of my life, and that I care to know what He has to say about it, what He commands me to ask of Him, and I do care, and you do care. And so our stance before Him this morning is the stance of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. We don't always know what to pray for as we ought, neither what to do, but our eyes are upon Thee. The general outline of what this Lord commands us to petition of Him may be found in the Lord's Prayer. The Catechism says, as it gives the ground for our turning to the Lord's Prayer now, that this is the Lord's Prayer, that Christ our Lord, notice the language, Christ our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Lord says, this is what you are to ask. That's correct. Christ our Lord teaches us what kinds of things to petition in the Lord's Prayer. Remember that the Lord's Prayer is Jesus teaching His disciples in answer to the explicit question, how do we pray? Luke 11, verse 1. Lord, teach us to pray. And remember that the whole asking of the disciples and the whole giving of the answer in the Lord's Prayer comes in the context of Christ giving His Sermon on the Mount, that great sermon in which Christ, the King and Lord of the kingdom, gives teaching to the citizens of the kingdom. This is how the kingdom will run. This is how the kingdom functions. And this is what a citizen in the kingdom looks like and what he does. In that context, if Christ answers this question of the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray, we better perk up, we better listen.
We ought to make this the central instruction for our lives and how to pray as New Testament believers. So that's why the Catechism will take us in the next week through the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer to see what God would have us ask of Him. But now, introductory to that, it gives us the Lord's Prayer as a whole and says, let's see general things now about how we are to make requests. Notice five things. If we look at the petitions of that Lord's Prayer, generally the prayer the King gives to us. First of all, you notice that the petitions of the Lord's Prayer have as their first concern or priority God. The glory of God and the things of God. Not us first, but God. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We are commanded by the Lord to pray, to petition in such a way that his glory and the purpose of all things in the glory of his name is carried out in this world. That's priority number one. Is it your priority number one? Big things. God's glory things, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this planet, Lord. Lord, the honoring of thy name in the midst of the world that thou hast created. Our prayers can become so small and so narrow sometimes, so stuck on little tiny things, and so self-focused. But our Lord commands us to petition for his priorities and assumes that you are the friends of God and therefore you desire these big things too. You desire his purposes. Pray for nothing less than the big thing of the invasion of his kingdom in this world and the honoring of his name. Big God things.
Second, you notice as we look at these petitions of the Lord's Prayer generally, that after that, we are still commanded to pray for ourselves and our own needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Our individuality as his children doesn't get washed away and lost in these big things of his glory and kingdom and name and honor. He says to us, in the forest of these big purposes that I am after, you individual trees in that forest, you still matter to me. I care about you as my child, and I want you to bring requests to me concerning yourself. I love you. I care for you. Third, you notice about those requests for ourselves that they are holistic ones. He teaches us to pray for body and soul. Daily bread, and forgive us, and lead us not into temptation, because both are important. They're important to God. He created us body and soul. Sometimes people who think they're so spiritual think it's almost not right or unspiritual to pray for the needs of the body. But that's wrong, the body as well as the soul. And sometimes people are so unspiritual that they never pray for the soul. But body and soul together, both will be resurrected and taken into the new heavens and new earth. Both matter. Pray about them both to me. Fourth, you notice that when we are commanded to pray for ourselves, both body and soul, we are commanded to pray for what is necessary for body and soul, not merely wants, but needs. The Catechism picks up on that in question and answer 118. All things the Lord has commanded us to pray, necessary for body and soul. He wants us to pray for ourselves too. He doesn't want us to turn into spoiled children who don't realize but he's got that whole forest out there. It's not just about you and me. What we need. Fifth, you notice that the petitions that the Lord teaches us to pray are very, very general. The Lord says, pray for the hallowing of his name, for thy kingdom come, thy will to be done. But he gives no specifics to us, which immediately brings up a question to our minds. Does that mean, am I to take from that the Lord Christ is teaching us that we may only pray generally? Is he teaching me never to pray, for example, for the coming of his kingdom in a very specific way or a very specific time or place that I see and that I am a part of it? Because I'm a part of it, I desire it, that his kingdom come in this way, at this time, in what I'm pursuing. May I pray for a specific neighbor by name who I care about and desire to be a part of his kingdom, that his kingdom come specifically in that man? What about for my individual child? May I pray for my specific minister this morning or evening before he preaches, that he be given the Spirit and the Word so that thy kingdom comes right here, right now, in this worship service? Or is that too specific? The Church of Jesus Christ has always recognized and taught that just like the Ten Commandments stand, each one of those commandments stand for a whole category of things, so too the petitions of the Lord's Prayer stand for a whole category of things. And just like the church learned that each command of the Ten Commandments stands for a whole category of things, by seeing in the Bible all kinds of other specific commands that fit under each of those big categories of things, so the church learned that the petitions of the Lord's Prayer stand for categories of petitions by seeing in the Bible God's people making specific requests, all of which fit under those categories of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. So yes, we may pray more specifically in these categories. God's people in the Bible do. The Lord's Prayer is like the Ten Commandments of my prayer life, governs it generally that way. And in fact, it's good too to pray those petitions in that general way. It is. And with urgency, and to leave it general. Sometimes, thy kingdom come on earth, Father. This is the desire of my heart, that thy name be honored and hallowed, that thy kingdom keep coming until the day when Christ comes and turns this entire place into the new heavens and new earth and removes the chaff. These will be the often prayers of the people of God, generally like this. They must be, but we must also pray more specifically too. Ought to. Are expected to, are required to. But how? How? The whole rest of the sermon is really an answer to that question. We have these categories of petitions in the Lord's Prayer, and we may pray more specifically because the saints do under those categories as they do. But how? We learn how by watching them do it. And first, we see from Scripture that one of the things they do when they pray these categories more specifically is that they pray the specific promises given by God in the Word. They pray the promises. They petition the promises, the specific promises. Every promise he makes is in line with these categories of the Lord's prayers, petitions, and may function as commands for us. Pray them very specific way to pray these categories. For example, he promised us in his word to give us grace and the Holy Spirit when we ask. Question and answer 116 made mention of this in passing.
God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of them, of Him and are thankful for them. And you say, when you get down to 118 and 119, but where in the Lord's Prayer does it say, pray for grace and for the Holy Spirit? Or did He command us to pray for that? It doesn't say that in the six petitions. There isn't a petition that says, grant the Holy Spirit specifically.
But grace and the Holy Spirit are promised. Luke 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And you see, praying that promise, petitioning that promise for His Holy Spirit, which is grace to us, it's just a specific way to pray for the hallowing of His name in my life. I need His grace and Holy Spirit to do that, for the coming of His kingdom, for deliverance from evil. You pray the promise. Father, I'm being tempted. Deliver me from evil, and more specifically, grant me grace and the Holy Spirit right now. You promised. Daniel, in what we read, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel's praying for the fulfillment of the specific promise of God to bring captive Judah back to the promised land after 70 years. That's the reference to Jeremiah. Daniel 9, 2 through 4, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. That Jerusalem would lie desolate, Jeremiah had prophesied, but for 70 years, and then you will come back and restore it. And Daniel learned that it had been 70 years. And so what does he do? Does he just say, well, 70 years? He gets down and prays the promise. I set my face unto the Lord. I repented categorically, communally of the sins of Israel and said, forgive them, Father, and bring us back as you promised. A specific way to pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. You pray the promise. Elijah prayed that it would not rain under the rule of wicked Ahab in Israel. And then later he prayed that it would rain. But don't forget that he did that because God had promised those things. He only prayed for it to rain again after God said to him in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And so he prayed the promise. And strikingly, in James chapter 5, James upholds this particular prayer of Elijah as the example for God's people. You pray this way. You pray the promises of God. This is how more specifically we pray these categories that Christ taught us to pray in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We have all kinds of promises in His Word, hundreds of them that come down to us. Pray them. The promise to save in the line of generation. That's a promise of God given to His church, a great promise of God given to His church, then as now. Peter repeats it in Acts 2, verse 39, so that we know this is for the New Testament age too. I will be a God to thee and to thy seed after thee. And so we pray the category of thy kingdom come. More specifically, also this way, in the line of generations as you promised God. He promised that He would graft wild branches into the vine, especially in this New Testament age, and that from those branches then he'd continue to save in their line of generations too, Genesis 17, 4 and 5. And you pray that too as part of the category of thy kingdom come. You pray the promise.
He's promised us that he was going to come quickly, as quick as he can come again after his purposes are completed.
Revelation 22, verse 20, the last promise he gave to his people in the Word. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And what are the next words of that verse?
They're a petition. They're a praying of that very promise. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and we join our voices to the voices of the saints. Come, you promised, come a specific way again to pray, thy kingdom come. And we could keep going with promises. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. Pray it. He promised that his word would not return to him void. All the promises of God are more specific ways to pray. These categories of petitions commanded us in the Lord's Prayer.
But now let's take it a step farther even. May I pray for specific applications of those general categories and specific applications even of those promises, if the promises aren't that specific.
Very specific applications of them in my own life.
I pray, thy kingdom come. I pray, thy kingdom come more specifically in the way he promised in the line of generations. May I pray? My generations after me, Father, my child, and name him by name, little Johnny, little Susie. That specifically? There's no promise that he said, save that specific child. May I pray that way, that specifically? He's taught us to pray for the hallowing of his name. Thy name be honored, Father. The renown of thy name, the awe at the name of Jehovah. And here my child is sick unto death, Lord. Heal her, I pray, her by name. And I will give all honor to thy name. May I pray that specifically? Daily bread. Thou hast taught us to pray daily bread. Thou hast promised to never forsake us, to grant to us what we need. May I get so specific that now I have a job interview tomorrow and the tuition bills are coming due and I don't even have enough to cover the tuition bills and put food on my table at the same time. I know there's no promise in Scripture that he's going to give me this job tomorrow that I've interviewed for, but may I still pray that specifically, give me this job, Father, I pray. The answer to that question, beloved, all of those questions, is resoundingly yes, you may, absolutely 1,000 times yes. Because the same Lord of the Lord's Prayer did it himself. Isn't that what we read him doing in Matthew 26? As he unburdens his soul very, very specifically, very specific requests. Where the burden of his suffering is coming upon him now, so strong in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the weight of our sin, your sin, and mine that is upon him, and the punishment that is due to him for it is coming upon him heavy, and he feels the burden of what he must endure the next day in a few short hours, and he cries out in verse 39, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it's possible, Father, take this away, this specific thing. My path is leading this way, I know. May there be a fork in it if it's possible. A very specific request.
I would judge for the hallowing of God's name and deliver me from evil.
And the promise, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Think of the Apostle Paul and the three times he prayed specifically for the removing of the thorn in his flesh. Specific requests. As we'll see under the category of thy kingdom come. Specific. I always wonder if the reason why he prayed three times and then stopped is because of what we read of the Lord Jesus here in Matthew 26. He prays three times and then stops. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Apostle Paul was consciously thinking about that, saying, I'm going to pray for this three times like my Lord did, and if it's not his will, I will submit to what it is as my Lord did to. It wasn't unspiritual for Paul to pray that that thorn be removed, whatever it was. You may pray this way, child of God. Not only may, but you must. You must. You cry out and you unburden your soul before the Lord this way, very, very specifically. Look at the Psalms too. Psalm 55, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend to me, hear to me. I mourn in my complaint, and I make a noise before thee. And he goes on to give his specific request. And you can go on and on. We've sung all these psalms already this morning. 142, 130. As the psalmist unburdened their soul for specific burdens in their life. Specific request to Jehovah God. Maybe you need to know this morning. Because you carry a weight upon you that you have not cast upon Him and have not cast upon Him because you think you may not bring it to Him that specifically. You may, child of God, there is freedom to cry to Him and to lay down the care of your soul before Him in this way. You may and you must, but you do, and I do too, with two caveats. First, that we always allow our specific requests to be governed by these general categories that the Lord commanded us in the Lord's Prayer, that our specific requests don't drift into prayers for a new condo in Aspen, because after all, I'd really like to have a new condo in Aspen, or for Aunt Jenny's goldfish, or things like that. The specific requests of Scripture, both Old and New Testament, never go outside of these categories of the Lord's Prayer. Paul viewed his request that the thorn of the flesh be removed in the categories of the Lord's Prayer. He found this prayer there. Whatever that thorn was, whether it was poor eyesight or poor speaking abilities, if some have surmised, or something else in his life, he viewed it as something that was holding him back as an apostle. I could do more in thy kingdom. It's part of thy kingdom. Come, Father. That's my motivation. Did you notice how the Lord Jesus was careful to pray in line with the categories of His own Lord's Prayer that He taught His people to pray? This specific request, a personal request for the Lord God, comes in line with thy kingdom come. That's why He adds those little words, if it be possible, if it be possible. If there's another way that thy kingdom can still come, because this is the grand desire that thy kingdom come, I'm not praying against the coming of thy kingdom. If it's possible that thy kingdom still come, but in another way, but if it's not, Father, then disregard my request. He prayed in line with his own teaching. That's the first caveat. Second, the second caveat is that when God's people get this specific, and they must get this specific, when they get this specific, always include in our soul, in our words too, submission, a resignation to the will of Jehovah God, thy will be done. As our Lord himself, the Lord Christ praying for something so specific, it has not been promised to him this way. He resigns himself. He doesn't stop himself from praying the specific request, but praying it, he also includes a resignation and submission to the will of his Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. In John 12, verse 28, he didn't have to say, thy will be done. He makes a very general request. John 12, verse 28, Father, glorify thy name. A request. It's basically, hallowed be thy name, isn't it? And you don't find the Lord Jesus there adding after that, Father, glorify thy name if it be thy will. He doesn't have to. It is God's will. He had revealed that. But here in Matthew 26, thy will be done. And Paul, three times I'll pray and then I submit to his will for my life, like my Lord Christ did in the garden. You don't have to say, beloved, nor do you have to feel like you have to say, thy will be done. If you're simply praying the general categories, the general petitions of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, or give us this day our daily bread, it is his will. You don't have to say, thy will be done, even if you're getting a bit more specific and you're petitioning the promises of the Word of God under those categories. They are things promised. If he promised them, they will occur. And they will occur through the means of his praying people. You don't say, thy will be done. If thy will be done, then save in the line of generations. You say, thou hast promised, and you storm heaven's gates with that promise, and you hold it up before the face of your God, and you say, you wrote this. I didn't write this. Keep it, Father. Keep it. And you charge heaven with a holy boldness. It is written. But when you apply those categories and apply those promises so specific, which you must, God's people in the Word do. And when you know this is in line with what the way he's taught me to pray, these categories of the Lord's Prayer, and this is my motive, is in line with that, yet he didn't promise this specifically, then you make your appeal, you unburden your soul, you tell him the ground of your cry, but at the same time you recognize, I know you haven't promised this to me, Father, and I will submit my will to thine. But this is the desire of your child's heart, and it's a good and right desire. I believe it would bring honor to thy name, that thy kingdom would come in this, but thy will be done. Lord, heal my daughter, I pray. Use the doctors I ask of thee, and even beyond them, save my child, this specific child by name, this one who's battling the world in his heart and life and questions and doubts, save him. Grant to me, Father, this job, I pray thee. It's not a frivolous request. I need this. But I know that thou art bigger and wiser than me. And you see more than the little blip on the screen that I say, see. And therefore I submit myself to thy will. I may pray to him that way, that specifically, because he's a father as well as a Lord. And I'm given that privilege as a son, but I must recognize he's my Lord too in this and honor his will. When you pray that way, beloved, pray that way that specifically, sometimes his answer will be, yes, my child, I will. And sometimes his answer will be, no, my child. It can't be that way as you desire. But always he hears, and always he answers. With our general prayers, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and the promises, his answer is always yes, every single time. He will hallow his name. His kingdom will come. He will grant our daily bread, and we pray them generally, and we wait with bated breath to see how he's going to make it come to pass through the means of the prayers of his people. You pray the promises as they are written, and the answer will always be yes. The Israelites were released from captivity right at 70 years. He fails to keep none of his promises, none. And you wait with bated breath to see how he's going to fulfill it. But many times, too, the specific requests of God's people that they pray and must pray, the application of the promise to specific things in their life. This is my desire, Lord, and I think it lines up. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Many times he will say, I will do it, child, I will do it. And I will accomplish my good will in the way of that specific prayer. And of course, it's also the case in our experience that many times when we pray that specifically, the answer is no. But when it is, beloved, then you remember, number one, that it was even no sometimes for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the Apostle Paul, when the Lord saw Judas coming into the garden, the soldiers in the distance, he knew what the answer to his request was. And he was already submitting to the will of his Father in the process of the praying, and he goes ahead resolved to trust his Father's will, his soul being unburdened and now submissive to whatever the will of his Father is. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. To the Apostle Paul, the Lord said, how? We don't know. Did he speak to him? Was it some other way? And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. It was a no. But for them and for we too, second, if his answer is no, we must know that there's never an ounce of malice in that no, not one ounce. Never does he say to us, you foolish child, what were you thinking? But he says, I love you, my child, and I hear you. And the bond is there for such a hearing and such a crying. And this is part of that bond. But it can't be, and I will give you grace to bear it. And it can't be because there's a better way. You can't see it really yet. But I guarantee you this, my child, if you could see it, if you could see why I say no to you, you would change your request. I guarantee it. You would change your request to line up with my answer. You would. There's a kingdom that could come for the Lord Jesus Christ in no other way than through the wrath of his Father upon him. Though he cannot, in one sense, in his holy, sinless state, desire to be cut off in his experience from his Father. His Father said, there's no other way. And I will not ever forsake you, my child, even when all you're experiencing is forsakenness. I won't. I never leave or forsake my children. Couldn't say yes to Paul. For Paul himself tells us, lest Paul should be exalted above measure and come to utter ruin. If you would say yes to all of our requests, beloved, we would destroy ourselves. If you really stop and think about it, if I stop and think about it, if I prayed to him making requests, specific requests, knowing always, every time he would say yes to me, I wouldn't pray another specific request again. I'd probably ruin everything. But to be able to set forth my desire to him, the desire, the burdening of my heart, and why it's a good desire, and that I seek this, and my desires are in line with him. And then to say, but I know it's in thy hands, Lord. I know thou art God and I am not. And thou to see a big picture and plan and purpose that I can't see, then why the child of God is the best of both worlds. I know he's heard me. I know he loves me. And I even feel that in the very praying of it, that he loves me and cares for me as I unburden my soul. And I know also that he will do what is best and right for me as his child too, even if I can't see it right away. So I go forward trusting him, who is the Lord, and my Father, who does all things in perfect care for his children, until the day when faith is made sight in glory above. Amen. Father in heaven, strengthen us in our prayer life, we pray. In this, the previous sermons, and the ones coming up too, grow us in prayer, Father, that the life of the bond might grow in us, and that we might experience the joy and peace comes in prayer as we are taught to pray. In Jesus' name, amen.